Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Text 44.
Eva
Samohayan
Vishnu
Vimohan
Vishva
Mohana Swayaiva Mayayajo Pi Swaya
Eva
Vimohita
Evam
Samohayam
Vishnu
Vimoham Vishva Mohana Swayaiva Mayaya Jopi Swayameva Vimohita Evam Samohayan Vishnu Vimoham Vishva Mohana Swayaiva Mayaya Jopi Swayameva Vimohita Evam Samohayan Vishnu Vimoham Vishva Mohana Swayaiva Mayaya Jopi Swayameva Vimohita
In this way
Samohayam,
wanting to mystify Vishnu, the all-pervading Lord Krishna,
Vimoham,
who can never be mystified,
Vishvamohanam,
but who mystifies the entire universe.
Swaya,
by his own Brahmas.
Eva,
indeed.
Mayaya,
by mystic power.
Aja,
Lord Brahma,
Api,
even
Swayam,
himself,
Eva,
certainly,
Vimohita,
was put into bewilderment, became mystified. Translation. Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who, on the contrary, mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma wanted to bewilder Krishna, who bewilders the entire universe. The whole universe is under Krishna's mystic power, Mama Maya Duratyaya. But Brahma wanted to mystify him. The result was that Brahma himself was mystified. Just as one who wants to kill another may himself be killed. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna, saying, "What is God? We can do this and we can do that." But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Instead of defeating Krishna, Brahma himself was defeated. For he could not understand what Krishna was doing. Since Brahma, the chief person within this universe, was so bewildered, what is to be said of so-called scientists and philosophers? Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. We should give up all our tiny efforts to defy the arrangement of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangements he proposes, we should accept. This is always better, for this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. But one who has reached the point of surrendering to the instructions of Krishna, mam eva prapadyante, is liberated, free from Krishna maya. Mayam etam tarantite. The power of Krishna is just like a government that cannot be overcome. First of all, there are laws, and then there is police power, and beyond that is military power. Therefore, what is the use of trying to overcome the power of the government? Similarly, what is the use of trying to challenge Krishna? From the next verse, it is clear that Krishna cannot be defeated by any kind of mystic power. If one gets even a little power of scientific knowledge, one tries to defy God, but actually no one is able to bewilder Krishna. When Brahma, the chief person within the universe, tried to bewilder Krishna, he himself was bewildered and was astonished. This is the position of the conditioned soul. Brahma wanted to mystify Krishna, but he himself was mystified. The word Vishnu is significant in this verse. Vishnu pervades the entire material world, whereas Brahma merely occupies one subordinate post. Yes, yaika nishvasita kala matavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanyanata. Brahma Samhita 5.48. The word natha, which refers to Lord Brahma, is plural because there are innumerable universes and innumerable Brahmans. Brahma is but a tiny force. This was exhibited in Dwarka when Krishna called for Brahma. One day when Brahma came to see Krishna at Dwarka, the doorman at Lord Krishna's request asked, "Which Brahma are you?" Later, when Brahma inquired from Krishna whether this meant that there was more than one Brahma, Krishna smiled and at once called for many Brahmas from many universes. The four-headed Brahma of this universe then saw innumerable other Brahmas coming to see Krishna and offer their respects. Some of them had 10 heads, some had 20, some had 100, and some had 1,000,000 hens. Upon seeing this wonderful exhibition, the four-headed Brahma became nervous and began to think of himself as no more than a mosquito in the midst of many elephants. Therefore, what can Brahma do to bewilder Krishna? Evam samohayan Vishnu vimoham vishva mohanam swayaiva mayayajopi swayam eva vimohita. Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who on the contrary mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Smati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastachyadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is such a wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna. It is also, as I'm sure you're all aware, it is also the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada translated and presented purports on. So that's another type of significance. And Prabhupada presents very, very wonderful purports. You may have seen there is one video, Your Ever Well Wisher. It's a video of Srila Prabhupada. It's quite long, maybe 45 minutes or an hour. And it shows a small section. Srila Prabhupada, in his last days, completely bedridden and just physically, at least materially, in a really terrible condition. Srila Prabhupada's lying there in the bed on his back with some disciples around him. And I think it's Jayadvaita Maharaj, one of the devotees, and Jayadvaita Maharaj, is holding the microphone for the dictation machine over Prabhupada's mouth as Prabhupada's lying there on his back. And Srila Prabhupada is reciting one of these purports from this chapter. And if you're familiar with that video, I don't know if you are, but it's very, very interesting if you see it, then Srila Prabhupada says to the effect, everything within the universe is owned and controlled by Krishna. It is along those lines. You can find that. That purport is there. You can find it. And then you see that there are a number of verses after that which Srila Prabhupada translated and presented purports on. Even in that condition, it's just like you would consider it is just like impossible that a person could do like that. But Srila Prabhupada went on and did more also, because Srila Prabhupada was so concerned that we get Krishna consciousness. He was so concerned that we get and that the world gets Krishna consciousness. And of course, in so many ways, Srila Prabhupada made great efforts, coming on his own and struggling on his own, dealing with severe health problems and so on. But when you see this, this is a very striking example, illustrating very vividly how Srila Prabhupada made an absolute effort to give us and give the world Krishna consciousness, and how it was not like when a person is working at a job. When a person is working at a job, in many cases, they'll take any excuse to take a day off work. Oh, my nose is sniffing a little. Oh, I'm sick. I must take the day off. Or even our devotees, they take days off if there's some special festival or something. And they report in sick. Yes, I am sick of material life, and I want to take part in the festival. And make a special effort for the boss to work at the job. Oh, not unless there's plenty of money in it. But there's Srila Prabhupada, making what an effort to translate and present purports on this chapter. So it's extremely striking, the just amazing transcendental nature of Srila Prabhupada, and also the amazing transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, and how Lord Krishna's Maya, Krishna Maya, works, how it can work, and how, if you are not careful, how it will work. Oh, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. Here we are sitting in class, sitting in the nice temple, and in our nice ISKCON project here, such a beautiful place, and we were chanting, now we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and so many activities are going on, and it's nice, and generally we feel happy in Krishna consciousness, and for that matter, if we are Krishna conscious, we'll feel happy, even if there's some difficulty going on in some respect. But still we'll feel happy if we're Krishna conscious. And how is that? That is because we're in Krishna consciousness. Or at least we are engaged to some degree in the process of Krishna consciousness, engaging our minds, engaging our senses in Krishna conscious activities. Of course, there's also the question of degree. Sometimes it's very half-hearted. Sometimes even we may begrudgingly do some service, and while we're doing it, we may think, oh, why do I have to do this, or something to that effect. And other days we may be happy or happier. So there are degrees of Krishna consciousness, but the basic point is that if we engage in the process of Krishna consciousness in some service and try to remember Krishna and these basic activities in Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, try to do it attentively, then we feel good. We feel good. As Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And that doesn't mean only when you're very, very advanced devotee, then you chant Hare Krishna, then you become happy. No, it means even in the early stages. You chant Hare Krishna, even though you don't do it so nicely, but you do it, and then you feel happy. So in this way, this is Krishna's mercy. And through engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness, we become a little freed from the conditions of material existence, the anxieties, the stress, and so on of material existence. We become a little free, and we experience little bit the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Not so much, but at least something. So now the thing is, though, my point in this regard is that if we, while making our little efforts to be devotees and do devotional service and practice Krishna consciousness, if we somehow become distracted by the material energy, if we allow ourselves to get deviated from Krishna consciousness, again, it's a question of degree also, but if we allow that to happen, then Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Sri Gaunatayi Ki, then there is actually no limit. There's practically no limit to how far down we can go, how bewildered we can become, and how much covered over by Krishna's Maya. Prabhupada refers to here as Krishna Maya. We can become very bewildered. We might sit here thinking, well, maybe I could become a little bewildered, you know, if I started thinking about some material thing, but I'm a devotee. Yeah, it's all right. But Lord Brahma, he's a big devotee. He's extremely big devotee. Compared to us, as devotees, compared to us, Lord Brahma, well, he is the head of our sampradaya. And at this stage here, he's already the head of our sampradaya. He's already big, big devotee. Srila Prabhupada once was, he had just arrived in New York for the New York Rath Yatra, and the devotees were driving him to the Rath Yatra site where they're going to begin, so Prabhupada could then participate. So Srila Prabhupada asked the driver, who is here? Meaning amongst his disciples, who is here? Of course, there are hundreds of devotees there. Srila Prabhupada really meant, of my closer disciples, those who are really assisting me closely, and you know, the senior disciples, who's here? Not, you know, if Bhakta John, who joined the temple 2 weeks ago, if he's there. So the devotee, the driver, gave a list of names, you know, this one, Swami, and that one, senior devotee, and the other one, GBC, and so on and so on, and said to Prabhupada, all the big devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, I am the only big devotee. So to be a big devotee, a real big devotee, and not just, you know, some sort of little big devotee. Oh, that's something. So Srila Prabhupada, he was big devotee. you present him in front of the six Goswamis, Narada Muni, Lord Brahma. They'll all offer their respects because he's a big devotee like them. Mm-hmm. So Brahma also, but not us. Don't worry. We have not made it to big devotee status yet. But Brahma, he is a big devotee. He's really senior. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions that if we want to consider amongst the devotees who is senior, who is less senior, who is junior, who's in the middle, you know, some sort of status check, hierarchy check. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, one way is to understand how long each devotee has been a devotee. Someone's been a devotee 30 years, 40 years, someone's been a devotee 20 years, someone 10, someone 5, and so on, and someone one day, or something like that. And in this way, you can get some idea. It is not an absolute principle, but it gives you, it's a rule of thumb. A rule of thumb means a basic sort of guideline which you can use, although it's not, you know, just like the only thing by any means, but it's helpful. So, we've been devotees for some time. I remember when I came to Maurice, 1983, Nrsingha Tirtha Prabhu and I, if we were preparing for the installation of Radha Gaurakananda, Nrsingha Tirtha Prabhu and I went out to collect shushu from the farms. So we drove around all these farms around here and there and asking them to donate shushu. So that was 1983, it's almost 30 years. So he's been a devotee, long time, longer than I'm sure a number of others here. So he's a senior devotee by our standards. Lord Brahma, he's senior devotee. He's been a devotee since the beginning of the universe. How many years is that? How many millions of years? He's a big devotee. He's really a senior devotee. Even one time I had a little interesting experience. I was visiting Italy. The devotees took me to a monastery. And at the time, it was maybe 10 years ago, I'd been a devotee for approximately 30 years, something like that, and I was already a GBC member, so, you know, you feel, yes, I'm a bit senior. So I went there, and this one monk, he was nice to us, and he showed us around, and this is this room, and this is that room, and little guided tour, and I asked him, how long have you been living here? He was an elderly gentleman, and he said something like, 56 years, and I thought, oh, I've been a devotee 30 years, I may think I'm senior. It's all extremely relative, but the point is that we shouldn't overestimate ourselves, and we should not underestimate Maya. And even if you're a big senior devotee number one, relatively, in terms of how long you've been Krishna conscious, or maybe your ashram, you may be a sannyasi, for example, or you may be some sort of scholar and studied many literatures and give many classes and people appreciate you and so on and so forth, all these different types of things. But don't overestimate yourself, don't underestimate Maya. Even Lord Brahma, he made a mistake. And Maya got hold of him. And, he ended up in a big mess. Big mess. Here it is right here. Somehow or other, he became confused and thought that Lord Krishna, who was personally present, was not Lord Krishna. But he was just some other Krishna. Because, I don't know about here in Mauritius, but in other parts of the world, amongst the Indian community, Hindu community, Krishna is a fairly common name. In South Africa, we have many Krishnas, and many Vishnus, many Radhas, and they were given those names at birth by their parents just because they're Hindu people, and they're just popular names. So Lord Brahma thought like that. He is not that Krishna. He is just one of the local Krishnas. But all these foolish, innocent, after all, Srila Prabhupada did explain, you know, we use this term innocent, the innocent non-devotees, who may be sort of open to Krishna consciousness if we present it, and we think, oh good, they're innocent. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, innocent means foolish. They're innocent. They're not experienced. They're not experienced, so they don't know. They're foolish. So, Lord Brahma, he thought that Krishna is just one of the other local Krishnas from around the corner, from the neighborhood, just another one of the local boys. And he thought, all these bridge buses, they're glorifying Krishna so much, just see their foolishness. I'll show them who's really someone respectable around here. So his idea was, he wanted to embarrass Krishna. He didn't want to kill Krishna. Lord Indra was worse. In the Govardhan Leela, Lord Indra wanted to kill Krishna and the cows. And Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and Srimati Radharani, and so on and so forth, everybody. He actually wanted to kill them. Now that's really getting into Maya. If you get so angry with another devotee that you want to kill them, then you must know you're in Maya. You're really in Maya. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left this world, and the Gaudiya Math disintegrated, was in the process of disintegrating, you had these camps, and there was sometimes not just harsh words, but physical violence between them. And a few were killed, actually. So Maya is very powerful. And we really are small. If Lord Brahma is small enough to get into this terrible mess, what a shocking mess, then what about us? So Lord Indra tried to kill Krishna. Lord Brahma just thought he would have a good joke. They think Krishna has some mystical power or something. So they respect him, they glorify him. But I am going to do something which will make Krishna look so stupid and so helpless and so lacking any Shakti. They're going to laugh. They're not even going to laugh at him. They're going to really be angry with him. So therefore Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves. And his idea was Krishna would realize, oh, what happened to my friends? What happened to the calves? And then he would have to go back home and, you know, on his own. And all the parents would be looking, where are our sons? Where are the calves? And Krishna would have to say, oh, there. Oh, I don't know. Suddenly they were not there. And what a scene there would have been. What a scene there would have been. And Krishna, he would have been in big trouble. What do you mean you don't know where they are? Oh, Krishna, it would really have been a difficult situation for Krishna and for the Brijvasis, and Lord Brahma would have been watching and laughing. So, you know, you think he's big time, okay. And then maybe Lord Brahma would have done some mystical display to impress them, I don't know, but this is what Lord Brahma did, because he became confused by the influence of Maya. But we should understand, just like we mentioned, here we are, we're practicing Krishna consciousness, we have our ups and downs, but I know many of us here, we have good days in Krishna consciousness sometimes. And everything is nice. And we're happy. And oh, we're so glad we're in Krishna consciousness, I'm sure. But sometimes we have bad days. I don't know if any or how many of you may have gone beyond that stage, that sometimes you have bad days and it's really a bit of a trial, but it happens. Now, so sometimes we get in Maya, or at least sometimes we can get in Maya. Let's face it, we are already in Maya in a certain sense. Who of us sitting here has perceived themselves as eternal spirit soul? Actually, because we are. We are not the minds, we are not the senses, we are not the body. We're eternal spirit souls. But I don't think any of us have seen, you know, looked in the mirror. Ah, there I am. In the region of my heart, there's the spirit soul glowing. Why? Why are we not seeing? Because we're in Maya. Because our consciousness, our sensory capabilities are still covered, even though we are actually eternal spirit soul. And each one of us has four spiritual senses and spiritual mind like that, but they're not manifest now fully. On a good day, we get a little sense of it. But they're not manifested fully. Why? Because they're covered by Maya. So why is it that we are somewhat Krishna conscious, but somewhat also in Maya, and it fluctuates from day to day or time to time? We go up and down from time to time. How is it? Why is it that we're not completely in Maya altogether? And why is it that we're not completely Krishna conscious altogether? It's because of Krishna's mercy. And if we lose Krishna's mercy, if we make some offense, allow ourselves to become interested and contemplate some material object or something, then the Maya comes in more strongly. Maya comes in more strongly. So, here Prabhupada refers to Maya as Krishna Maya. It is all under Krishna. And as we are trying in Krishna consciousness, in our own little ways, Krishna is allowing that Maya either releases us to some degree or becomes more strong on us, depending on, Prabhupada describes here, how we surrender from moment to moment, from day to day, how we surrender. Krishna is watching and Krishna decides. Krishna tells Maya, give this, give her a break. Give her a chance. She's trying today. And next day we're all, you know, somewhere else. And Krishna tells Maya, wake this devotee up a bit, will you? Give this devotee a bit of a shake-up. And sometimes we respond to that, oh, I must pull myself together. Sometimes we don't. And we just allow ourselves to fall down. These things are going on. So Lord Brahma, he allowed himself. He got into this whole meditation. He got into this whole state of mind. He developed this whole attitude towards Krishna. Wrong attitude. Even though he's big, big devotee compared to us, my gosh. He's in another dimension of Krishna consciousness altogether. But still, he allowed himself. Therefore, he got into Maya. So when the question arises, how did we get into the material world? Was it just that there we were in Goloka Vrindavan, just innocently, very nicely doing our sense, our devotional service, suddenly Maya just grabbed us and threw us down? How did it happen? Or did we deviate and start desiring something else, material, and then become determined like that? And then Krishna told Maya, all right, now you take this person. Actually, that's how it works. And because Lord Brahma, even though he's big, big devotee, extremely senior, extremely experienced, knowledgeable. We have no capacity to understand how knowledgeable he is in Krishna consciousness. But still, because he allowed himself to get into some wrong consciousness, offensive consciousness, then he got into this really shocking position. Really shocking position. So, of course, it is also Krishna's arrangement for us to learn. You're never too senior that you can't fall into Maya. You're never so advanced, you're never so knowledgeable, you're never chanting so many rounds on a regular basis that if you develop the wrong idea that you can't get into very serious trouble. It works like that. So therefore, we have to really take shelter. We have to really take shelter of Krishna. We have to really take shelter of our spiritual masters. And actually, we have to really take shelter of the devotees. and Srila Prabhupada's movement, because none of us sitting here are beyond the possibility of getting into some tragic, disastrous situation. And actually, to avoid it, we need to make a serious effort on an ongoing basis. So, this is Maya. Lord Brahma's mystical power is a mayic mystical power. Even, you know, Maya is so powerful, there's a description, very nice description, also in the 10th canto, just a little further on, I think. Anyway, it's there in the 10th canto somewhere. Agasura. That's also before here, isn't it? Yeah, before Agasura. So Agasura appeared as a gigantic serpent, several kilometers long, and opened his mouth, looked like a cave. All the cowherd boys went running in. Krishna did not initially. Krishna stood back, and Bhagavatam describes, Krishna was standing on a rock watching the cowherd boys running into the mouth of Agasura. And there's a nice painting of that happening. And the verse explains that Krishna was looking at Agasura, and Krishna was thinking, what is this? Look at this. This gigantic serpent, I can't believe it. Krishna's thinking like that. And Krishna's thinking, this is a product of my Maya? Wow, I didn't know my Maya could do these things. Oh, Krishna's thinking, my Maya is really amazing. My Maya is really powerful. So, you know, it's going on under the Leela Shakti, that's okay. But still, it's a fact that Krishna's Maya Shakti, Mahamaya, the great illusion, is really so powerful. And the only reason we're not under it more severely right now at this very moment is because we're making some little efforts in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna is feeling merciful and telling Maya, give this devotee a chance. Don't smash him into the ground. Give him a break. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Words of wisdom? Sriniketan Prabhu? Give us some guidance. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, say that again. Agasura was? Oh yeah, okay, some kilometers, right.
Can the spirit soul go back consciousness?
Can the spirit soul
go back consciousness?
Oh, to such a big body? Yes. The spirit soul has the power, more power, than millions of suns. Suns. Soleil. Yeah. Lord Brahma is a spirit soul. His body is more than 7 kilometers long. It's a lot bigger. Even the planet Earth is a type of body of Bhumi. Yeah. So, therefore it's described when the kings, just before Krishna appeared, there are all these demoniac kings, And they would show off their military force to each other by doing like military displays. Bring out all your soldiers, have them all march up and down, you know, with all the weapons, show off. And so they're all marching up and down. And when they march, they stamp on the earth. Bang, bang, you know, they march in these very pronounced ways. So, it was painful for Mother Earth, because the Earth planet is a type of body for Mother Earth. And even, there's some description, I forget where exactly, but there's very much a description, it may be in the Bhagavatam. Krishna would take the cows out, and the cows, you know, they're big heavy animals. Anyone, if a cow steps on your foot, that is the end of your foot. Yeah. Your foot is crushed if a cow steps on your foot. So, the cows, Krishna would take the cows out. They would be walking in front, he would be walking behind, sort of directing them, herding them, and so on. As they walked forward, it would hurt Mother Earth. But then Krishna would walk behind, and the touch of his lotus feet would soothe the pain of Mother Earth. So don't worry, the spirit soul can empower and supply consciousness to extremely big bodies. Agasura several kilometers long, that's nothing. That's just nothing. Yeah. In other words, the spirit soul, in terms of power, is not, you know, sort of limited like electrical wires or certain types of wires. You plug them into the source, and then the wire may go off like some kilometers. The power decreases. The power decreases the further the wire gets from the actual source. So the spirit soul does not work like that. That the bigger the body is, that the spirit soul becomes less able to animate, you know, the sort of the extremities of the big, big body. Doesn't work like that. You know, like, well, I don't know if you know, but computerized communication. You can purchase a service which runs at a certain speed, the data that comes through at a certain speed. But then they say they have to come and test if that speed is available where you are, because you may be too far from the source and they may not be able to offer you that speed. They may only be able to offer you a lower speed because you're too far from the source. But for the spirit soul, Lord Brahma, I don't know how big his body is, but it's big. Spirit soul is able to supply consciousness and energy completely all over the whole body. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.